He kept casting heal, while his other hand rummaged in his belt. There were two potions in its pockets, and the time seemed just right to drink one so as to get some of his health back. The boss's health bar had shrunk almost by half, but the same was true of the Leprous, and the spells were now taking Ross a frustratingly long time to cast due to the debuff. "Stone skin!" he shouted. The Leprous had received the skill from one of the Philbit mages. It was the reason why they had been enduring his strangling far longer than most, reducing the incoming damage by several times. The skill's biggest downside was its overly long cooldown, which meant you could only use it once per battle. The pet's HP bar started creeping up again, while the boss's kept on shrinking. Clicking furiously, the bug sent forth another stone wave, but as soon as Ross heard the familiar sound, he dashed toward the exit, dodging the impact. He produced a mana potion out of his bag on the way back, even though his mana regenerated at a high speed, aided by the items looted off the mages, he was still spending it at an alarmingly fast rate. The boss, in the meantime, had managed to land a few good hits, crushing the Leprous and finally shattering the unfortunate stalagmite. Its HP scale kept shrinking fast, but the Leprous was likewise disturbingly close to dying. Ross kept casting one heal after another, his mana points vanishing frighteningly fast. He wanted to run closer and help, but that would be dumb. He wouldn't take more than a few percent off the boss's HP, even if he kept hammering at the creature for an hour. The difference in levels and stats was just too high. The Viceroy howled, its voice sounding almost human. It had no more than 15% health left, while the Leprous had at least 20. The boss must have realized the battle was all but over. But no, Trathkazir was simply preparing for another dirty trick. The air in the cave started to shimmer, and there was a wave of heat, as if an enormous oven popped open somewhere nearby. Another wave of concentric circles rushed forth from the boss, but this time made of fire and not rock. The red carpet and the drum's upholstery caught fire, and some smears on the walls of the cave began emitting a putrid smoke. Ross didn't manage to reach the exit in time, and was soon rolling on the ground trying to put out the flames, yelling shrilly with pain. Thankfully, he had gotten caught by the very fringes of the spell when it no longer had full potency. But in the epicenter, where the two foes were locked in a deadly battle, the flame roared like a hungry tiger. Ross saw most of it in his peripheral vision, fighting through the pain that was unbearable. Such games should be banned well before release. This level of realism is too much, he thought to himself. The ground shook. Something smacked into Ross's leg as an enormous piece of stalactite came crashing down right next to his head. He was gulping the hot air with cracked lips, trying to evade the heat still emitted by the combatants that were rolling on the floor of the cave. Your summoned creature dies. Farewell, Leprous. Well, at least we tried. The floor shook again. Trathkazir the First, Viceroy of Chaos, is hit for 926 damage. Critical hit, broken skull. What could that be? Ross peeked from behind a rock, still cherishing some naive hope. At the final stage of the battle, the boss and the Leprous had rolled all over the floor, holding fast to each other and crashing into numerous stalagmites. Weakened by the Viceroy's magic, the stalagmites didn't always withstand the impact. Some of them fell, which explained the rumbling earth and the scattered debris. As the boss finished off the charred Leprous, suffering no damage from its own fire, it began to crawl out from underneath the pet's body. But that was when disaster struck. A stalactite that had been uncertain as to whether or not it should fall finally decided that it should, and it fell so fortuitously that the top of the Viceroy's skull got sheared right off, revealing a whitish brain with only two acid-green gyri. The boss was pinned down by the enormous weight, trying to free its damaged head. It looked a lot worse for the wear, its HP bar near empty, with less than 1% health left. Ross got up hastily, favoring the hurt leg, and started toward the Viceroy, taking the pickaxe out of his bag. Upon reaching the boss, he stuck it into the creature's open skull and started to rotate his peaceful mining implement like a blender blade, turning the inside of the boss's skull into goo. Critical damage dealt. Grave craniocerebral injury. You kill Trafkazir I, Viceroy of Chaos. Ross didn't even feel cheated by the brevity of the message. The boss had drained him completely, both physically, leaving a measly 46 HP, and mentally, with his soul feeling totally empty. The pain from the blows and the burns was abating, but the feeling of emptiness persisted. He had spent too long underground, and this battle was the last straw, the heaviest of them all. He had won, but he was in no condition to celebrate his victory. He also pitied the poor Leprous so much he could cry. He had gotten used to the pet, becoming truly attached to a cluster of digits generated by a computer program. Attention, please wait. A database error has occurred because of an unpredictable concurrence of low-probability events. Scenario merging. Initial data reloaded. Location data loaded. Battle logs loaded. Scenario debugging. Scenario initiation. What was that all about? He had never seen messages like that before. Attention, displaying the logs in full will take up to 40 minutes of real time. Do you agree to have the logs displayed in brief? Yes? No? Ross didn't care either way. However, the flickering system messages irritated him, so he chose yes. Confirmation accepted. The logs will be displayed in brief. Worldwide messages will be displayed every minute. Beginning of the event. Trafkazir I, Viceroy of Chaos, is dead. XP received, 439. Points left until the next level, no data. Attention, you need to unlock your account to be able to raise your level. Your strength grows by 2, current value 37. Your agility grows by 1, current value 44. Your mental power grows by 9, current value 24. Your intellect grows by 11, current value 38. Your attack grows by 3, current value 26. Your summoning grows by 4, current value 19. Congratulations, you have destroyed a monster 100 or more levels above yours. Achievement earned. Crazy Loner Part 8. Achievement bonus, +1 point to every primary base stat, +1 to reason, +50 HP and MP, vigor and fury. Bonus effect, permanent. Achievement unlocked. Giant Slayer Part 8. Kill 50 monsters whose level exceeds yours by 100 or more without any help to complete the achievement. Achievement bonus, random. You have compiled a complete map of the wormhole. You receive +1 to cartography and +1 to visual memory. You... Ross saw the numbers and even tried to focus, but his weak efforts were insufficient and the mathematics kept slipping right past him. Attention, you have killed Trafkazir I, Viceroy of Chaos. You are the first to defeat this incarnation of chaos. You have earned the title Monster Slayer First Class. Title bonus, +8 to attack, +8 to defense, +4 to luck, and +4 to speed. When you join a guild, a party, or a raid group, all the members of the respective guild, party, or raid group receive half the bonus for the duration of your stay. The bonus is permanent, unless the title is rejected. Attention! Unique achievement! This is the first time in the history of Second World that a single player has discovered a wormhole and destroyed all the chaos spawn inside it. You are a hero. Your level growth block has been removed. You receive +4 to all your primary and +2 to all your secondary stats. When you join a guild, a party, or a raid group, all the members of the respective guild, party, or raid group receive half the bonus for the duration of your stay. You also receive +1 to all auxiliary skills, those already unlocked, as well as those that haven't been unlocked yet. Auxiliary stat unlocked. Charisma. You gain 5 undistributed levels. You gain a level. You gain a level. You... Ross could hardly keep his eyes open. Attention, you have broken the record of level advancement in the course of a single game day by more than 3 times. Previous record, 29. Current record, 89. You are a tenacious hero. All the auxiliary function locks have been removed from your account. As tradition has it, the difference between the previous and the current record is awarded to you as luck points. Your summoner stat reaches 20. Your spells for healing, buffing, and summoning pets now consume 40% less magic energy and are cast 20% faster. Your pets are now 10% more intelligent. Attention, unique achievement. This is the first time in the history of Second World that a single player has defeated a creature of the higher order whose level exceeded theirs by more than tenfold. You are a legend. You get access to expanded account functions. You receive +8 to all your primary and +2 to all your secondary stats. Your HP, MP, and fury points will regenerate 2 times faster. When you join a guild, a party, or a raid group, all the members of the respective guild, party, or raid group receive half the bonus for the duration of your stay. You also receive +2 to all auxiliary skills, those already unlocked, as well as those that haven't been unlocked yet, and an extra +5 to charisma and luck. You gain 10 undistributed levels. His eyes closed. Attention, unique achievement. This is the first time in the history of Second World that a single player has become a legend. You are a star. You have won the sympathy of many NPCs. From now on, you will lose your money and possessions a lot less often in the event of death. It is very hard to steal from you. Stat unlocked. Appeal. You receive 20% more experience for killing monsters and completing quests. When you join a guild, a party, or a raid group, all the members of the respective guild, party, or raid group receive half the bonus for the duration of your stay. You also receive +5 to charisma. Dirt does not stick to you, and earth-based elemental attacks deal 50% less damage. The shine of your glory scares small insects, mosquitoes, flies, horseflies, and other pests steer clear of you. Snakes become 50% less aggressive. Your charisma level reaches 10. Any party you lead will receive a bonus. Damage sustained lowered by 8%. Damage dealt increased by 8%. You gain 8 undistributed levels. Attention, unique achievement. This is the first time in the history of Second World that a single player with incomparably weaker stats has defeated a creature of the higher order in fair duel. You are a great legend. You get partial access to the account's administrative functions. You receive +8 to all your primary and +2 to all your secondary stats. Magic and physical defense of equipped items will increase by 26%, and the physical and magical damage done by equipped weapons is increased by 20%. When you join a guild, a party, or a raid group, all the members of the respective guild, party, or raid group receive half the bonus for the duration of your stay. You also receive +2 to all auxiliary skills, those already unlocked, as well as those that haven't been unlocked yet, and an extra +5 to charisma and luck. Your mining and quarrying level reaches 10. Damage done to resources increases by 15%. Your charisma level reaches 20. Any party you lead will receive a bonus. Damage sustained lowered by 15%. Damage dealt increased by 15%. Experience earned increased by 20%. Once every 24 hours, you can transport a party to a zone you have discovered. If you have no party, the bonus effect extends to you. You gain 10 undistributed levels. Attention, you... Ross was fast asleep. Greedy was sitting on his favorite bench that looked more like a perch. The awning was too high, failing to protect him from the sun that was setting behind the rocks, so he kept squinting his eyes while shooting irritated glances down at the bustle at the bottom of the crater that he had so despised. The greenskins rolled the last carts hastily. No more ore would be submitted today. The orcs came up the meandering path, followed by 2 armored warriors, a special guard detail sent by the clan into the mines after Greedy's report of having been attacked by a very high-level mob, and right in the middle of the day. He decided to refrain from mentioning that he wasn't exactly killed by a mob, but rather a player named Rostendrix Potarentax, as his death log reported dispassionately. It was clear that there was more to that noob than met the eye, but Greedy still didn't wish to become a laughingstock if others found out he got snuffed by a useless level zero. He craved revenge. But how did one get back at a noob with such a protector? Only by letting others in on his secret and asking them to help. Hell, he'd end up the butt of everybody's jokes just the same. Greedy decided to keep shtum. He banished Shoto from the mine and started a rumor that whoever helped the noob would also be banished, and without any pay. He then ordered the mine guards to keep an eye on the last gallery with workers, allowing no one to go any deeper. The noob would run out of food sooner or later, and he'd have to come out. Or he would have to munch on raw meat, suffering debuffs and howling in despair, which was also fine by Greedy. Let him suffer. Should he decide to come outside, the guards would dispatch his mob by communal effort, which would open avenues for an unhurried conversation arranged in such a way as to keep Greedy's shame a secret. Darchet approached the awning, another dim, penalized player who must have been sent to the mine for the specific purpose of irritating Greedy with his idiotic jokes. "Hey, big guy, don't you get tired of sitting there?" he said in a jolly voice, chuckling at his own unfunny joke. "You really think it's that funny to call a dwarf big guy? Don't be such a sourpuss. Let me tell you something so funny it will blow your socks off. Like a fresh joke. I heard it from the coachman this morning. A light elf wakes up in the morning in a posh hotel room and sees a message in his log. You have taken part in a perverse intercourse while asleep. The elf is all shook up, thinking, how could it happen? The door was locked, the window too. I came in alone, and I never removed my long johns. What could be the matter? Suddenly, there's a voice from the closet. Darchet's account of the light elf's erotic misadventures stopped abruptly. His jaw dropped, and his eyes glazed over. But Greedy didn't see it, freezing with just as stupid an expression. The sun was still shining, and the evening birds chirped wearily, but those were the only sounds. Everything else grew silent. The cart axles did not creak, the armor of the ascending warriors did not clink, and the smelters stopped chewing out the noob who had forgotten to prepare the clay. Everybody at the mine froze as if thunderstruck, looking at something fascinating that only they could see. Darchet was the first to come to his senses. So great was his shock that he even dropped his habit of cracking silly jokes. "Bugger me sideways. What the hell is going on here, eh? Did you read that?" "I did," replied an icily calm Greedy. "Fancy that. I'll be damned. Right in our province, too, somewhere nearby. Any idea who it could be? The name is noobish. Normal players rarely have those. It's all totally weird. Could it be a bug?"
"No, Darchet. It's no bug."
"What is it, then?" Greedy stared at the crater wistfully, and then at the gate. Could he run away? But what would be the point? They'd find him. Even if he deleted his character, they'd find him just the same. He was no fool to believe in the privacy policy and the inviolacy of personal data. Any interested party powerful enough could pay or bully its way through and get access to real information on any user they wanted. There'd be many interested parties, too. A hero with a bunch of achievements would be a welcome addition to any top clan. Top clans had money, and money equaled opportunity. They'd find out everything of interest to them. "So, what is it?" asked Darchet, with an imbecilic expression writ plain upon his face.
"What it is, Darchet, is shit."
"Shit?"
"Yup. Do you remember me telling you about an intriguing mystery the game has, the mystery of shit? People keep on eating, but no one's ever seen any shit. This is rather strange. Many people have wondered about it, and I think I'm beginning to understand where all the shit of this world will soon be found. It will pour down in a torrent, filling up the mine, the galleries, and all these stinking caverns, overflowing the crater and washing away my awning, all these ugly houses, as well as your guardhouse, with your silly ass inside it.
I don't get it. What do you mean?
An idiot doesn't have to understand their intellectual superiors, but you had better get the hell out of here at once. Not as in logging out, but as in making tracks. Away from here. Quick.
But I'm penalized.
I said, split. Now. Once you get far enough, leave your body somewhere and log out. When you're back in the real world, go to some cheap bar or club, pick up some made-up whore, do some acrobatics with her, get the clap, and drink yourself into a stupor, having the time of your life. And when they come for you and ask you about everything you've seen, you will tell the whole truth and nothing but, recollecting even things you believed long forgotten. You'll be very polite, too, and answer questions with all due diligence.
Greedy, what the hell is wrong with you?
The dwarf did not respond. Raising his head while turning away from the sun, he was reading the messages in enormous, bright red lettering that rolled before his eyes. Supreme achievement. Rostendrix Potarentax has drawn the interest of the gods. Those gathered inside the room stayed away from media spotlight, gave no interviews, and did not brag about their position. They simply made money, and on such an enormous scale that one could no longer view it as mere money. It was power. Power meant control. What happened today was tantamount to the loss of control, and so they gathered to discuss whether it was true, and whether the events that had transpired posed a danger to the status quo in any way. The player has already been found, but unfortunately, that avails us nothing. His body is in an induced coma, while his mind roams Second World, and he's been there for such a long time that disconnecting him is unlikely to get him ejected. Why is he in a coma? There was an explosion at the laboratory where he worked. Was the laboratory involved in our research? It was. Here's the ATZ subcontractor. This was followed by a nod toward a dignified-looking man with a well-groomed face and hair that seemed too lush and full for his age. He nodded solemnly. I remember the incident. What a tragedy. Could their research have imparted any special abilities he could have used to pull this off? Out of the question. The research had nothing to do with gameplay whatsoever. Could you give us more details? They were working on a new technology of cooling microelectronic components. Based on our materials? Yes, but they had no knowledge of the source, and even if they did, how could it have affected the course of events? Check if there were any leaks. It's important. We're expecting a large delivery, and any perturbation of the aura can spoil things. We have no idea just what could have happened, but such things will surely produce perturbations. Did anyone try to find him inside the game? From the very first moment, and not just us. It's useless. He's nowhere to be found. How can that be? Well, you know we don't have that many opportunities left to control things. We have already determined that the player was the cause of numerous server glitches, and possibly even a fire in a data center. Our specialists are examining the logs to see if they can find something, or at least establish whether or not it may have been sabotage aimed at concealing an attempt of a breach. I wasn't referring to technical issues. I meant your words that the player cannot be found. He cannot be tracked down by any methods. So far, we have two versions. One is that he has been sealed off in a chaos dungeon or a similarly autonomous location. The other is that something else has happened. We are pursuing the latter version. What about the former? If he's in a chaos dungeon, finding him is out of the question. We won't be able to contact him either. There are no ways of getting through to him? None. nor can they exist. Those are the basic laws of Second World.
Chapter 29. Ross was dreaming, the first time in this world. He lay on the ground next to the dead viceroy, who maintained a death grip on the broken paws of the leprous even after death. The remnants of the carpet and the oily smears on the walls of the cave still produced a foul smoke, and a strange man stood in the arch of the entrance. His whole body was wrapped in a silvery cloak, and only his face could be seen. It was most unusual. One half seemed chiseled out of granite and filled with ostensible grandeur, while the other was withdrawn, somber, and even icy. If one took a closer look, one could see an even grid drawn upon it in thin lines. Ross regarded the stranger, and the stranger regarded him. The game didn't last long. The man in the silvery cloak gave up first. His lips stretched in a cold smile.
"I'll refrain from congratulating you. There have been plenty of congratulations already. Who are you? How did you get in here? Did the entrance open?" "No. No one will trouble you here. You can sleep peacefully."
"Who are you, then?"
"I am someone who has been preventing you from becoming a hero."
"I don't get it."
"Achievements involving victories over monsters whose level exceeds yours tenfold and more grant heroic status once you reach the third tier, while you have reached the fourth without receiving anything."
"I did receive bonuses."
"Those were insubstantial. You have failed to receive the main prize because of me."
"Why? Are you my enemy?"
"I was planning to compensate you for it in the future personally."
"What's your interest in this?"
"My interest? Well, achieving emotional attachment, for one thing, or understanding who it is that I'm betting on."
"I still don't understand."
"Understanding is hard to find these days. I'll give you something. Don't consider it a present. Remember, compensation. You will receive another skill. It is more than unique. It is impossible."
"So how do you intend to make the impossible happen?"
"Sometimes I can work wonders, especially when I come prepared. The second thing I will give you are the following words. Do not mistake my first gift for a worthless bauble. And don't hasten to leave this place. Rest, mine for ore, gain knowledge of yourself, and search for answers."
"What answers?"
"The first answer you need to find is why you were given this gift, and why it happened at this precise moment. And now I shall bid my farewell, and you will fall properly asleep."
"So I'm not properly asleep now?"
"No. After the battle, your inner essence was subjected to the mental influence of magic of the Reason School. I will not apologize for that. Without this interference in the gaming process, this dialogue would never have happened. And now we can communicate in the usual way, albeit without much practical use. You are not yet ready to listen, but everything changes, and that too will change."
"Here comes the shit now," said Greedy in an almost indifferent voice, shutting his eyes. He had no wish of seeing whatever would kill him. The wood of the wall around the mine was pulverized, then the powder turned into fire. In the 5 or 6 seconds that followed, the same fate befell the houses, the furnaces, and Greedy's awning. The flame destroyed everything, leaving a heap of charred bones from high-level players and a bunch of astonished noobs in long johns who kept respawning in the pool of lava that was all that remained of the stone circle. The newbie immunity to high-level area-of-effect spells did not work. The key was not to target the noobs themselves.
Your cache has been discovered by a high-level creature. Your cache has been discovered by a high-level creature. Your cache master level grows by 1, current value 9. Your cache has been discovered by a high-level creature. When Ross woke up, he kept staring at the logs stupidly for a while. New messages appeared at the rate of rapid machine gun fire. There was only one explanation. Lots of high-level mobs were roaming the area where he'd made his caches, or large numbers of high-level players. Something must be happening in the mine and the caves. Then he stopped thinking about caches. Having scrolled the logs back to the beginning, he saw some of the messages received after the death of the boss. The beginning was unfortunately deleted. It no longer fit on the display. There may be a way of viewing earlier messages, but Ross knew nothing about it. When he opened his character's stats, he nearly suffered a heart attack. Absolutely every stat had grown, and considerably so. Strength, which he had recently wished to bring up to a measly 20 points, was now at 75, leaving agility, which he had raised by mistake in the beginning, far behind. He had as many stamina points. His highest stat by far was luck, at no less than 90 points. 6 new auxiliary stats had become unlocked, and all had reached decent levels. Even charisma was obscenely high at 21 points. Those weren't the only surprises. A level 0 noob had become a level 89 player overnight. That alone gave him 445 points of undistributed primary stats, 8 secondary, and 3 auxiliary. Ross realized that he didn't merely catch fortune by the tail. It was perfectly tame now, and trained to do all sorts of tricks. He could probably kick it with a dirty boot to make it run to the nearest supermarket to fetch him a 6-pack of beer and a pizza. He had no other explanation for the incredible windfall of presents and perks that he'd received. He sat there with a perfectly moronic expression on his face, trying to make sense of all these gains. But then he slapped himself on the forehead in frustration. The boss's carcass was right next to him, and he hadn't looted it yet, and there was no telling when the corpse might rot, denying Ross a lot of valuable loot. He looted the carcass without even looking at the stuff he got. The developments concerning his character were much more interesting. Ross decided he could wait with distributing the free points. He'd already hurried once, and had since swore he'd never do it again. He kept looking at one thing and then another. Finally, he braced himself and set to studying the character's expanded functionality. The first thing he noticed was that his interface and chats had become a lot more convenient, with a much larger number of functions and settings. He could copy and paste text, record names of friends and enemies, manage the way system messages were displayed to avoid text repetition and overlap, and do a lot more besides. Then he noticed he could finally view game resources, which, as it turned out, included the game's website and forum. He could browse the pages without logging out of the game, which he couldn't do anyway. Now he could make estimates about the value of found items without employing middlemen like Shoto. He could also read the much-coveted guides, having had his nose rubbed in his ignorance of them since his first minutes in Second World. Now he could finally start enjoying himself. Ross opened the forum to check how things worked. There were days to be spent studying all this stuff. He was about to close the window when something suspiciously familiar caught his eye. In the top right corner was a small window with the 5 most discussed topics, and 5 more topics that had been updated the most recently. 8 topics out of 10 contained the name Rostendrix Potarentax. 4 of them said virtually the same thing word for word, the only difference being the clan name. The Camelot Guild offers generous remuneration for any information on the player Rostendrix Potarentax, and so on. Ross didn't wonder long about his sudden popularity. A few minutes of reading the forum briefly sufficed for him to understand that some of the system messages, the ones related to heroic and legendary achievements, had been transmitted worldwide in the same red text he once saw when the Chinese player had leveled up to 300. The Chinese player's achievement now looked like a dry streak of snot on the wall of a white marble skyscraper in comparison to Ross's feats. The forum dwellers split in two camps de facto. One kept inquiring about Ross's identity, while the other was engaged in a heated discussion concerning one of his achievements. According to its description, he had attracted the interest of the gods. Since no gods were involved when Second World was developed, their functions were performed by nameless, higher powers, the players were somewhat perplexed. No one had deigned to give an answer yet. The developers had mentioned something once about the world being complex and driven by the actions of players, so the players should make sense of things themselves, since no one was going to take them by the hand and show them the way. The players counted the achievements meticulously, and the general conclusion was as follows. Ross had received bonuses that no one else had in the history of Second World. It was known for certain that heroes received them in every case, and that some of these bonuses could affect the player's clan, which was why guilds did everything they could to get their hands on famous players. Up until now, there had been no players who became heroes twice, while Ross had managed to become a hero several times over, as well as earn a set of legendary achievements, another first in the game. Just what did he do? Could it be repeated? Which clan possessed such a priceless treasure as a legendary player? The gaming community was in a craze. The strongest clans of Second World fervently wished for one thing, to make Ross a fellow member, or, at the very least, find out what exactly he had done and whether or not it could be repeated by their own members. Everybody was busy gathering information on the distinguished player, and gathering information was something they were good at. Less than 2 hours after the Viceroy's demise, the Sword Power Mine was attacked by a team of players from the last Corsican's Guild, with no formal declaration of war. After studying the clan section, Ross learned that the Corsicans had around 15,000 active players, and that the clan was among the top 100 of the North American sector. Having easily destroyed all defenses, the aggressors started questioning their captives. The guards all logged off, calling their higher-ups in a state of total panic, but simple miners were eager to speak at length, hoping they would be left alone sooner that way. The Corsicans didn't get to enjoy their victory long, in turn falling under the onslaught of the JP Guild, which was in the top 10 of the same sector. The forces were too uneven, and soon the Corsicans had to log out. Their bind points lay outside the mine, so the bodies, looted by the winners, disappeared from the mine after a while. According to the heated discussion, the Jeeps spared no effort to get any measly snippet of information about Ross they could find. They had to hurry, too, since members of other top clans had already been spotted in the vicinity of the mine. Another significant fact was that the flags over many of the mercenary guild's strongholds flew at half-mast, which traditionally meant there were no mercenaries for hire. It was easy enough to deduce why someone might presently be gathering an NPC army. Everyone believed that the mine would become a furiously contested hotspot for a whole week, perhaps even longer than that. The fighting would continue for as long as a single noob remained who might know something about Rostendrix Potarentax. Ross realized why his cash master stat was growing at such a rate. There must be thousands of players at the mine, some of them of very high level, and they were surely searching every nook and cranny of the mine. Someone let slip, indirectly, that a few people were already aware of his real-world identity. It was a pity he had no access to secret guild forums. There should be a lot more accurate information there. As Ross perused the heap of junk posted on the subject of his good self, "Kid, trust no one but me. 10 grand gold if we meet personally. Message me privately. We'll come to some arrangement." His initial flabbergasted state wore off, eventually giving way to contemplations of what all this racket meant for him personally. Even without studying the issue in any great depth, he was absolutely certain about one thing. Letting the clan tops get their hands on him would be the worst thing he could do. They wanted him to forward their own goals, and not to help him solve his problems. He briefly considered, then scrapped the idea of offering his services in return for reciprocal favors. He might resort to it at some point, but not before taking his time analyzing all sorts of pertinent information. Ross was still a noob, while those guys were veritable whales who must have eaten tons of players much more advanced than him as plankton. Should he ever collaborate with them, he should assess all the pros and cons of such a collaboration and choose the best option for him. Messaging the leaders of one of the top guilds hunting him through the forum and telling them directly, "Here I am, I'll play with you, but I'll need $30 million in return, pronto," did not seem a particularly bright idea. He decided to disregard the weirdos promising him 10,000 grand altogether. Ross had another 8 months. After that, he would need money to pay for his account and his medical services. The former may not have been that critical, but the latter was. If they froze him instead of keeping him in a coma, the chances of saving his biological self would plummet. No one knew how the clone thing would play out in the future, so he should not disregard his proper body. What Ross needed was money, and a lot of it. Presently, he was something unique, and belonged to no one but himself. He was very valuable, and he wasn't going to share himself with anyone. Not just yet. He cherished freedom and hated cages of any kind. What he had experienced in real life was enough. Closed projects, secrecy bordering on idiocy, and then an explosion caused by some security moron's decision to dispense with the ventilation system as it allegedly compromised the impregnability of the facilities. That was it. He'd had enough. He would run around on his own. For a while, at least. Such considerations might seem ridiculous to everyone in the game world. After all, how would you hide from so many people looking for you with such zeal when your much-hyped name was hovering right over your head? But Ross had a way to disappear. Ultra-rare ability, clean slate. There cannot be more than 3 wielders of this skill. The higher powers grant you a chance for a rebirth. When used on self, your character will enter selection mode. You will be able to change your race, appearance, voice, name, and redistribute the accumulated primary and secondary base stat points. You will also be able to edit the visualization of publicly available information such as karma points, titles, achievements, etc. The ability can only be used on private premises, in sealed dungeons, and in locations with no other players. Use on another character is only possible in a conditionally safe location. It will make all their accumulated primary stat points redistributable, also removing any stat progress locks. Second use on the same character in the span of 50 days removes any level progress locks. Third use on the same character in the span of 50 days makes it possible to edit some of the character's features, such as race, name, and appearance. Magic energy required, 1,250. Cooldown, 7 days. Ross had noticed his new ability almost immediately upon waking up as he examined his character's new stats and skills. It hadn't struck him as anything extraordinary back then. He would have been very eager to redistribute his stats at the beginning of his life here, but now he had no problems on that account. Even the most generous employers would fight for the right to welcome him into the fold. As he browsed the forum, he realized that Clean Slate was something he desperately needed right now. Ross remembered his strange dream. "The second thing I will give you are the following words. Do not mistake my first gift for a worthless bauble." The dream wasn't just strange, it redefined strange. And indeed, no longer did this gift seem to him next to useless. So what else had the stranger told him? To take it slowly, stay here, mine for ore, and look for answers. Ross was in no hurry anyway. As a matter of fact, he was a bit intimidated by the prospect of leaving a dungeon that was completely sealed off for the time being. After a short forum search, he found out that the entrance wasn't just sealed, it disappeared completely. Even a player with high cartography and everything that boosted the stat pass were to pass a foot away from the dungeon, they would notice nothing until one of the vanquishers of chaos came outside, or until the dungeon reset, which would not happen any time soon. No one would find Ross here in the meantime. He went through the contents of his bag and realized that there should be enough meat for about 7 days, 8 if he used it sparingly. That seemed fated, as it was the very time required for Clean Slate to come off cooldown. He sat down and activated the skill. This time there was no pleasant female voice to guide him through character creation, but he had a good idea of what he needed just the same. If he was really hunted by the game's power players, they would take the time to comb through every tunnel and every cave. The minor noobs would invariably tell them that the strange hunter spent most of his time down there in the faraway galleries. If Ross ran into a search party, he must raise no suspicions. This meant he'd have to choose a race that no one associated with mining. The human race was a tempting choice, but humans had necromancy skills, and the fact that Ross had used undead rats would most likely surface soon, so his new race would have to have no such ability. Ross settled on a light elf, mainly because he instinctively disliked these pointy-eared creatures. He wouldn't have to run around like that for too long, he'd just have to get out of the dangerous area. Ross wanted the anticipation and eventual satisfaction of replacing an avatar he disliked with something more acceptable. He'd also found out from the forum that light elves were among the most popular races. No one would be surprised to meet another pointy-eared fellow, no matter where they spotted him, even in such a strange place for an elf as a mine, given that they had no work-related bonuses or abilities that helped underground. They were likewise initially weak in terms of transporting heavy loads. There was another thing. Most players who chose light elves used the bow as their primary weapon of choice. Ross had been seen with a pickaxe and a pike, but never a bow. No one would associate him with archery. He might be paranoid, but he decided he'd play it as safe as he could. Ross didn't actually change his race for another, abandoning all the useful features of a rock. He simply changed his appearance. Fortunately, his expanded abilities allowed for as much. Having transformed into a sugary, pointy-eared creature with the nondescript nickname John Archer 44, Ross didn't stop at that. The editor's expanded options gave ample opportunity to do more, and he decided he'd use everything he could. He deleted the squiggle that marked him as a worker, replacing it with another symbol. Now everyone who saw him would identify him as the owner of a standard gaming account purchased at a discount as a special offer. He obviously concealed all the flags, stars, and other things testifying to his achievements. Fortunately, he could do that too. He didn't redistribute his stats, simply dumping everything he'd earned from his level advancement into strength and agility. That would come in handy for harvesting the dungeon's mineral resources. He needed no forum to notice they were a lot more abundant and valuable here, and what he read had confirmed his hunch. 2 or 3 taps per geode would save him a lot of time. Having taken care of the character, Ross moved on to the trophies. He wanted to see what he'd scored and how much he would make selling it. There were 4 presents from the boss: a belt, an amulet, a ring, and a scroll with the Sun's Tears skill. The belt turned out to be Legendary Belt of the First Citadel's Supreme Mage. Properties merging. Impossible to lose. Cannot be stolen. Does not disappear after death. Restores durability automatically. Parameters: 12 easy access slots for potions and elixirs, 4 item slots, 3 amulet slots. Any item placed in the slot loses 90% of its weight. Stats: 71 armor, plus 44 to intellect, plus 40 to mental power, plus 25 to stamina, plus 17 to defense, plus 5 to mana regeneration per second, plus 15% to total mana, 11% stackable chance of deflecting a debuff upon the attacker. Wearer has a 3% chance of removing all the opponent's buffs in an attack. The item can be subjected to up to 4 stackable enchantments. Weight: 0.74. Requirements: level 10. Intellect: 100+. Durability: 741 out of 900. Attention: with 2 or more First Citadel's Supreme Mage items in the inventory, the wearer receives a bonus: plus 10 kilograms to carrying capacity, plus 3 to mana regeneration per second. Every additional First Citadel's Supreme Mage item raises the total bonus by the same amount. The information was displayed in bright red lettering. A legendary item. Legendary items were supposed to be the best you could find in Second World, and this one ended up being in possession of a very lucky noob. The first time a dungeon was cleared, the chances of finding the rarest items were much higher, and this time, fortune was on his side. Ross immersed himself in reading forum posts, trying to assess the value of this thing. He resurfaced almost instantly, producing his second bag, which he still hadn't dumped, likewise his first. It was stuffed with all sorts of things. He rose, donned the belt, and tried to place the novice's bag in one of its item slots with shaking hands. He did it. It worked. He had a total of 3 bags, and he could reduce their weight by 90%. Given his current stats, he'd be able to carry enormous loads. Now he could loot this dungeon properly. He no longer wished to part with the belt, but still browsed the forum's commerce sections, trying to assess how much his new possession might be worth. Alas, no legendary item of this sort had ever been offered or sought by anyone, but he did find 2 similar items with more modest characteristics. One was sold for $89,000 officially. There was no clear information on the other. It may not have been millions, but a nice and round number all the same. He decided he'd wear the belt himself for the time being, and time would tell. He might end up keeping it for good. Ross realized long ago that his character in the game was a means of production. If he wanted it to produce more, he'd have to invest money and effort, which would hopefully pay off in the end. The amulet and the ring were just ultra rare. Ross found several identical items without any trouble. The price range could be assessed precisely enough. He could get around $4,000 or $5,000 for the pair. It wasn't a fortune, but it was a lot more than he had managed to earn here so far. The Sun's Tears scroll allowed a character level 120 or higher to learn this eponymous skill. According to the forum, it was rare and sought after by elemental mages specializing in fire magic, and apparently many were prepared to pay up to $12,000 for this piece of parchment. Bosses may be hard to kill, but killing them sure came with lots of benefits. It was a pity the scroll could only be used once. After a brief perusal of the forum threads, where the particulars of clearing such dungeons were discussed more or less accessibly, Ross realized something, apart from high-level resources he noticed as he made his way toward the lowest level of the dungeon. He could also come across secret caches, which often contained expensive items. In some cases, the trophies found there were more valuable than those dropped by bosses. Perception was essential for finding caches. The forum was a swarm with threads where players with this stat were wanted for dungeon raids. Even those with only 10 points were welcome. With his whopping 16, Ross must be a veritable treasure detector. He had other bonuses too, high reason and arcane knowledge, and decent profound wisdom stats, all of which enhanced perception considerably. Intellect and mental power also influenced it, albeit not as strongly, but given their current values, it wasn't anything to be scoffed at either. The forum was interesting enough, but it was high time to get down to business. Chapter 30. Ross discovered his first secret cache right under the drum used by the Viceroy of Chaos as a throne. That was where he found the most valuable trophies, too, with the exception of the legendary belt dropped by the boss. Glass thread boots from the Viceroy of Chaos set. Properties, set item, restores durability automatically. If a player has three or more items from the Viceroy of Chaos set, either equipped or carried in non-active inventory, they are impossible to lose and cannot be stolen. Characteristics, 107 armor, plus 5 to all primary stats, plus 4 to speed, plus 100 to total vigor. The item can be subjected to up to 2 stackable enchantments. Weight, 1.98 kilograms. Requirements, level 49. Durability, 900 out of 900. The full Viceroy of Chaos set includes Mountain Silk Cuirass, Chameleon Cape, Glass Thread Boots, Snake Bracelet, Ring of Solitude, and Chaos Hound Collar. Full set bonus, full merging, plus 50% resistance to the element of light, 9% chance to stun the target for 3 to 8 seconds with a ranged attack, 12% reduction to incoming magic and physical damage, 6% probability of blinding the enemy for 6 to 11 seconds after it executes a ranged attack. Upon receiving damage, a shield is cast automatically that lasts 3 minutes, capable of absorbing up to 1,750 damage with a cooldown of 150 seconds. While the shield is active, the wearer cannot be stunned, blinded, or put to sleep. The weight of equipped items is reduced by 35%, plus 7 to primary and plus 2 to secondary base characteristics. A green item, just one tier below legendary. And if one gathered all 6 items from the set, that would net some sweet auxiliary properties. A perusal of the forum showed no such items were available for sale, but a search yielded a few mentions of them. Items from this set may have been dropped or found, but must have ended up in the vaults of top clans bypassing the market. Ross never did learn how much he could sell such boots for, but he was sure it would be a considerable sum. It would do him good to discover around a dozen new dungeons and find some trophies with substantial bonuses to stats. That would probably net him at least a million. It wouldn't solve all his problems, to be sure, but it would do as seed capital for further advancement. Ross also found a teleportation scroll inside the cache. Inasmuch as he understood, he could use it to travel instantly to any place he'd already visited. That might come in handy. Should he need to reach the city quickly, he wouldn't have to walk. He decided to start with the top level of the dungeon. That was where the cheapest resources could be found, high-quality amethysts, and frequent tin ore veins with an extra chance of getting two lumps of ore or an unexpected resource. Speaking of unexpected resources, he came across the very first one less than an hour into mining, and the second in the early afternoon, a lump of high-quality silver ore and a flawed emerald, respectively. Nothing of the sort had ever happened before. The Chaos Dungeon turned out to be more bountiful than the best of the mines. His unnaturally high luck, as well as some other beefed-up stats, should make rare events more likely going forward. There were no amethysts on the second level. Citrines of lemon yellow replaced them, requiring mining and quarrying level 5 or higher. His level 10 presented no problems, and his harvesting speed did not fall by much, which was not surprising, considering his strength and attack. He finished the level the next day, after a night's rest, finding a